On this episode of China Unscripted, why people want to boycott the new Mulan movie, how Hong Kong police are going undercover, and the battle for public opinion in Hong Kong. Hi, welcome to China Unscripted. I'm Chris Chappell.
I'm Shelley Zhang.
And I'm Matt Ganeshda.
Before we get into it, I just would like to thank the very first sponsor of China Unscripted, Path of Cha Tea Company.
Woohoo!
It's a small Brooklyn-based online tea company. And tonight, we're drinking their Silver Needle White Tea. So I have a real passion for Chinese tea, so I brewed this up for everyone. What do you think?
Cheers. Are you supposed to clink your glasses when you drink tea?
No. Well, because traditionally, like, they have these very, very small cups, so it would be impossible to clink them.
I have already wrecked it.
Well, you brought some Americana to it, which I appreciate it.
All right, I'm gonna
make
sip
sure
it now.
You sip it very close to the microphone so everyone can tell.
Gulp. Well, that's really good.
That's right. Yeah, I really enjoy their teas, and I'm not just saying that because they're a sponsor. I actually a fan of the show had sent me some of their tea, and I was like, "Wow, this is really good." And I really like their. This is my first time trying their Silver Needle tea, but it's really good. Silver Needle is one of the more popular types of white tea. It's a very light kind of. I wouldn't say floral.
It's not very floral. It's
got a little bit of a soy milk aftertaste in a good way.
Okay.
I think I have heard people describe it like that. I would just say to me that would make it sound disgusting. This tea is actually very tasty.
It is very tasty.
You're not a soy milk fan?
Not so much. But yeah, so once again, we're drinking Silver Needle White Tea. If you'd like to try that or any of their other great teas, use the link we've put in the description to order. And you'll be helping out China Unscripted as well. And I do personally recommend their tea. The link, I'll say it for all those who do not have our description. It is pathofcha.com/?REF=ChinaUnscripted. Yeah, that REF is in there, and so it's not simple.
Well, close.
That's REF=ChinaUncensored.
I feel like
China
that,
Unscripted.
China Unscripted. I feel like that. It almost sounds like an equation when you read it out loud.
It is. Hey, this actually.
It is.
Why
really
haven't
good
we
tea,
had?
Though.
Yeah. Why haven't we had tea on the podcast before?
Because generally, you try not to drink beverages audibly during a podcast.
Well, that's true.
Really?
That's actually a really
why?
Good point,
why?
Hey. So. What are we talking about today, Chris?
Oh, well, I think the first thing I want to get into. So, I mean, obviously, Hong Kong, there's so many stories coming out of Hong Kong. But something that just happened before we began the podcast is there's been this whole hashtag boycott Mulan thing that's happened. Shelley, did you hear about this?
No.
Because you were on the subway instead of diligently watching the news.
Yeah.
Well, take
also,
a guess.
I was working all day and not paying attention to. Is this on Twitter or Instagram or what?
It's everywhere. What do you, just based on the name, what do you think happened?
I don't know. I know people were mad about a bunch of things, including the fact that there was no Mushu anymore.
No songs.
Yeah, I don't know what happened this time.
Well, so the Chinese-American actress Liu Yifei. So she shared a picture originally posted by China's state-run People's Daily with a tag that said, "I support Hong Kong's police. You can beat me up now."
Oh.
And then she added, "What a shame for Hong Kong." So this is being perceived as a voice of support for the Hong Kong police and against the Hong Kong protesters, who most people are kind of seeing as...
Is she Chinese-American?
She's Chinese-American, according to what I read, or at least nationalized.
So the unusual thing about this is that there's actually been...
I thought she was a Chinese actress. I thought they cast a Chinese, like, Chinese actress.
Hmm.
There's Mulan.
According to the source, I read Chinese-American, but while you're fact-checking that, Matt, what were you saying?
I was going to say that there's actually been a lot of Chinese actors who have felt pressure to not support the Hong Kong protesters. they don't want to get Denise Ho'd, that is, people like Canto pop singer Denise Ho, who basically sacrificed her entire China career by supporting the Hong Kong Umbrella Movement in 2014. So a lot of, you know, actors and celebrities see this as like, oh, it's really too dangerous to go up, you know, against the Communist Party of China. But in this case, what the Mulan actress did seemed to be a bit more proactively taking a stance to support the Hong Kong police.
Yeah, it does seem odd that she went out of her way to do this.
Well, okay, so she's Chinese-American, maybe, but nationality-wise, but she moved to America when she was 10 years old, and then returned to China, like, 5 years later. So, like, she was born in China. Her mother was, like, a stage performer. Her parents divorced when she was a kid. She was, like, modeling from a pretty young age. Like, so she's really...
Well, lately, I'd say all she's doing is modeling how not to behave.
Well, I was going to say her...
Very good, Chris.
Thank you.
Well, her career is obviously really dependent on the Chinese market, the mainland Chinese market. And she's made a career in China, not, like, in Hollywood or something like that.
That's true. And I always do appreciate, you know, the need to, you know, sell out freedom and democracy for your own personal gain.
Well, I think now all the celebrities are being told to fall in line.
Yeah.
So there have been multiple celebrities in the last few days coming out to say, you know, they support rule of law in Hong Kong, which means they support, you know, the
Well, you know what? I'm going to come out and say it as a very important celebrity myself, that I support rule of law in China.
Ooh. Well, you know, Jackie Chan also got featured again by CCTV.
That doesn't surprise me anymore.
Yeah.
In case somebody listening does not know what kind of person Jackie Chan is, do either of you want to fill them in?
Oh, well, he's definitely a, like, pro-CCP...
Shill?
Stooge was going to be my... You
Stooge,
know,
I like
Yeah,
that.
I mean, he famously, a few years ago, said that Chinese people need to be controlled.
And they're not ready for freedom?
Yeah,
they're not ready for democracy.
Yeah, they're not ready for democracy. They need to be controlled.
Except everyone in Taiwan, where it works really well.
And, you know, in Hong Kong, as much as they are allowed to. And he's from Hong Kong, so the sellout thing was pretty... People were pretty disgusted with him.
Yeah.
Also, though, his son a few years ago got in pretty big trouble in China for smoking weed with some of his friends and getting busted.
Yeah.
So, you know, Jackie Chan has to come out and, you know, toe the party line to...
Though he was doing all of that stuff
He was before. Doing it before, definitely. Yeah. But, you
know
that's part... That's
part
definitely
of me,
part of it.
Part of me secretly hopes, because I grew up watching Jackie Chan movies, part of me hopes that, like, he really isn't a crazy jerk. He is just doing that because, like, they've got something on him.
So that's why. You'd rather him be, like, blackmailed?
Yeah.
Than...
I mean, then that just kind of makes him, like... kind of more of a coward than, like, just, like, somebody who is genuinely...
But also, your action hero is the last person you want to be a coward.
Well, he's, like, kind of a... He's
comedy.
Always been kind of a comedic action hero.
Yeah.
I remember watching Jackie Chan movies with my dad as a kid.
Yeah?
And my favorite part would be the credits, because they would always play the bloopers.
Ah, the bloopers.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, in all his Hong Kong movies.
Remember in Drunken Master... where he kicks that guy, and, like, his face lands, this guy, it lands almost into a pile of dog poop, and the guy's like, oh, wow, that was lucky, and then he pushes his face into the dog poop, and it's, oh, man.
Cinematic masterpiece,
genius.
Yeah.
Yep.
But, like, you know, Jackie Chan is also a member of the CPPCC.
The Chinese People's Political Consultative Conference. Everyone knows what that is.
Yeah.
That's right.
So that technically, I suppose, makes him part of the United Front.
Yeah. His fists are part of the United Front. So there's definitely a reason why people in Hong Kong much prefer Bruce Lee over Jackie Chan.
Yeah.
I mean, also, Bruce Lee no longer being alive doesn't have an opportunity to take sides.
Are you saying... better dead than red? Matt?
What?
That's what I got out of that.
Do not put YouTube comments in my mouth.
Or anything else.
Moving on.
Okay.
Okay, so yeah. So people who support Hong Kong want to boycott Mulan. Is that...
That's basically the gist of it. Yeah. I mean, I wasn't really planning on seeing it anyway, because a Mulan without...
Mushu?
Well, I'm going to make a man out of you is not...
That is a great song, I gotta say.
It is a great song.
Let's get down to business. Wait, will we be sued for that? Do I need to cut that?
Well, if you had sung it on key, then yes.
Ouch.
I sang it at a key comfortable to my voice.
I mean, that was such a great song, though, that I even forgave the fact that it was Donny Osmond singing it.
Whoa, really?
It was Donny Osmond. You didn't know he sang, the male, yeah.
Wow, but I feel like that would not be allowed anymore.
Most of the voice actors were of the Chinese characters were Asian. But like, for example, wasn't the Emperor played by Mr. Miyagi?
Probably.
I can't remember his name anymore.
He's Mr. Miyagi to all of us. He will always live in our hearts as Mr. Miyagi.
That's right. Wax on, wax off. Well, speaking...
That brings us to The Karate Kid that was filmed in China with Jackie Chan.
Oh, yeah, and Will Smith.
Oh, yeah. where they didn't actually do karate. They did kung fu.
Yeah.
Let's not go there. Those are dark times. But so speaking of, like, Twitter, I don't know if you guys saw it, but Trump had made a tweet. Well, he's made several tweets over the past week about Hong Kong, one including saying that U.S. intelligence thinks that Chinese military police are massing at the border.
Well, I mean, everybody saw the videos of that, so I don't...
happened after his tweet, I believe.
Mm-mm.
No?
Mm-mm.
Wow.
Yeah. The Global Times had already published the videos of, like...
Interesting.
The, you know. So I'm not sure it needed U.S. intelligence at that point.
So what you're saying is that President Trump... gets his intelligence briefings from the Global Times.
I do not know where President Trump gets his intelligence briefings. I am not prepared to.
What if the Global Times is Trump's favorite state-run media?
I mean, they are on Twitter. It's a possibility. Yeah.
They are illegally jumping China's great firewall to be on Twitter, so I appreciate that.
Well, so anyways, one of the things Trump tweeted recently was he said, actually I have it here, I have zero doubt that if President Xi wants to quickly and humanely solve the Hong Kong problem, he can do it. Personal meeting? Question mark. And everyone kind of thought, like, wait, is he saying that he wants to meet with Xi Jinping?
Well, yeah, because also this was in the, like, in the context of, like, prior, like, he had tweeted, like, a few things. One of them was, like, we want to reach a deal in the trade war, but mm-hmm. there needs to be a humane solution about Hong Kong or something like that. So yeah. In that context, it does seem like he's saying that Trump and Xi should meet.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I thought.
That's what I thought at the time.
And then he eventually like did another tweet clarifying that he was like, no, a personal meeting between Xi Jinping and the protesters.
Yeah.
Which I would love to see that.
I would too. It was like, I'm sure Xi Jinping's a great guy, something like that, and I'm sure if he were to meet with the protesters, everything could be resolved.
Well,
you know,
I mean, things could be resolved if Xi Jinping were willing to make the kind of concessions or even some of the concessions that the protesters want. But it's also questionable whether, A, Xi Jinping would want to, and B, if he does, would he be able to? Because in a lot of ways, he doesn't have absolute power. He's beholden to other interests within the Communist Party.
I mean, can you imagine? That would just blow everybody's minds if Xi Jinping met with, I mean, who are the protest leaders anyway? But like, if Xi Jinping met with anybody that was pro-democracy in Hong Kong,
that would just be
like, what happened?
Right. But I mean, obviously, he doesn't want to set the type of precedent that he's willing to meet with these kind of radical, anti-China, hostile forces.
With the Black Hands. Don't forget the Black Hands.
The Black Hands.
Also, I mean, I was just thinking about like back in 2000, or I guess this is 1999, when Jurongji met with Falun Gong practitioners.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so then like, that, I'm sure at the time they were like, oh, the premier is meeting with us. Everything's going to be okay.
And then almost immediately was much worse.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's not really even a guarantee.
But it
really
wasn't Jurongji's fault. Like, in his defense, from the interview that we did with Cai Shidong. Shu Cai Dong a couple months ago, it seemed like Jurongji genuinely wanted to help address the situation where Falun Gong was increasingly under persecution. And then Jiang Zemin, who was the leader, was like, nope, we're going to lock him up. And so then Jurongji kind of got ousted for that. But Jurongji may have been one of the top, you know, five or so party leaders, but he wasn't the number one guy.
I mean, there were also rumors at the time that Jurongji had relatives who had practiced Falun Gong, that like other top leaders had relatives. Like,
well, it wouldn't be surprised. I mean, like one out of like 12 Chinese people were practicing Falun Gong by that time.
I can't remember who it is, but supposedly some, like, you know, Politburo leader's wife was, like, it was just, yeah, it was definitely more of a, okay, yeah, that's fine, that's just something people do thing.
So does Xi Jinping have any relatives who practice Hong Kong democracy?
I wonder.
I don't know. I mean, actually, I don't know where Xi Jinping's relatives are.
In a safe and secure location, I'm sure. But so speaking again of the Hong Kong protesters, what do you think about they had a 4 or 5 day protest inside the Hong Kong airport. So I mean, obviously that has been kind of spun by the Communist Party and the Hong Kong government as being like, oh, look at these protesters, they're disrupting all of our travels. Like, do you think that kind of worked?
You know who disrupted the travels was the Hong Kong government.
I mean, they had to shut down the airport to protect people.
After there had been 3 days of everything's fine.
But it might not have been fine that day. I mean, just look, when they sent in the police to beat a bunch of people got beaten.
I think it is, like, it was definitely an escalation tactic by the Hong Kong government. Because this is not the first protest. There have been several protests at the Hong Kong airport, and people were mostly just hanging out in the arrivals hall, you know, just like holding up banners and, you know, chanting.
Saying sorry for the inconvenience, but we're fighting for freedom.
And, like, you know, giving out tourist brochures to people and then singing songs, you know, while sitting on the floor. So, like, for 3 days, it was not like nothing was really happening. But then over the weekend there were pretty violent crackdowns by the Hong Kong police, including a girl who got shot in the eye with what they say was probably like a beanbag round, something like that, shattered her goggles, ruptured her eye. And so then on Monday, that was like they were going to call for people to come to the airport to like protest the fact that this girl's eye got shot out. So more people did show up at the airport, and that was the day when the Hong Kong government decided to cancel all the flights.
Yeah, but there's another factor that's been happening recently, which is that Hong Kong police have been going undercover as protesters, and it appears that some of the so-called protester violence is actually like a plant by the Hong Kong police to stir things up.
It's a possibility. I don't know that that's been proven, but there's people have brought up suspicious things that happened with some of the violence. They're calling them like agent provocateur things that the police are doing. Well, the police did definitely like burst out as protesters and arrest a bunch of other protesters.
Yeah. I saw the video of that. It was very strange. It's like this guy, this protester was like slammed on the ground. His face was super bloody. And like, it looked like there were protesters on top of him, holding him down and tying him up. And I was like, wait, what is going on here? And it turned out that those were undercover policemen.
Yeah, I do have to say that they did a better job of pretending to be protesters than undercover Chinese police do of being undercover. Have you seen like Chinese police who are like plainclothes police and they all look the same?
Well, I'm thinking of Steve Buscemi and his "Hello, fellow kids."
Oh yeah, "Hello, fellow kids." Yeah,
"Hello, fellow Hong Kong pro democracy protesters."
Yeah, you can kind of tell when they all kind of have that like military-ish haircut.
Yeah.
And you know, they're all wearing the same type of polo shirts. And yeah.
Yeah. Well, but I mean, it's one of those things where like, I mean, it almost sounds like a conspiracy, but the Hong Kong police commissioner did admit to having police go undercover dressed as protesters, but denied that they incited violence.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean,
the press conference for that was interesting. He was like, you know, we've been disguising our policemen as protesters, but we haven't been inciting anything. And then somebody is like, we've seen you inciting stuff. And he's like, no.
Well, I mean.
But just to get him to admit that that they'd been disguising them already took, you know, a lot of uncovering and video footage that proved it.
Well, I just can't believe how much things have escalated. Like when we...
It's only been 6 weeks since we were there, and it's gotten really crazy.
Well, I'm thinking of, like, you know, it was shocking when we were there, and like, it came out like, oh, in one night, police used 150 cans of tear gas, which was more than they use in the entire umbrella movement. And now, they've upped it. In one day, they used 800 cans of tear gas.
Yeah, I mean, they had already, like, done so much more with the tear gas that now people who are just, you know, living in these residential areas of Hong Kong, they're getting tear gassed. People are just getting tear gassed in the subway because for some reason the police have decided that setting off tear gas in the subway is a good idea.
I saw the subway crews trying to clean that up today. It seems like a mess.
Oh my gosh.
Just like with the ventilation and everything, it would just be nuts.
Which is a shame because Hong Kong subways were very nice.
And then...
compared to New York.
Oh, yeah. I missed Hong Kong subway so much the other day. I went down into the subway and I was like, this smells terrible. I remember Hong Kong's air-conditioned mall-like subway system. Yeah.
Yeah,
and then there was footage of police just kind of firing tear gas down an empty street. Which was both worrying and hilarious.
And it was like residential too.
Yeah, it was in Sham Shui Po, which is like in a more, that's kind of in some of the areas where they're more like pro police, like pro government people living. But so there's been more clashes in those areas.
Mm-hmm.
But like there were no protesters on the street. They were just firing it down an empty street.
Just practice.
It
was strange to see that video. It's like, what are they trying to do? It just, the response by the Hong Kong government and the Hong Kong police just doesn't make any sense. Like, it seems like they want people to be upset.
Well, I think they do want people to be upset at the protesters.
But they're doing such a bad job of redirecting the anger.
I mean, I think they kind of succeeded with the airport stuff.
What do you think?
Because it got ugly on Tuesday. And Monday night-ish, I think it got kind of ugly because travelers who were stranded were getting upset. And then there started to be more reports about that and about people being angry and getting into, like, you know, you had, like, video of, like, a woman who was trying. She was like, I have a baby at home. I need to get home. And then the protesters weren't letting them through. And they were like, your flights are canceled. And she was like, no, mine's not canceled, you know. But that's all great propaganda. Or that one Australian guy who was arguing with the protesters.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know that that would look good to people outside of mainland China. But Global Times used it where he was saying that, you know, the protesters should stand down, you know, it's interfering with people's lives.
Well, there was the Global Times reporter who was disguised as a tourist, quote unquote, at the airport.
Well, I mean, I think...
And then they got...
Well, that was the next
up.
Day. Yeah. Tuesday it got really bad because it wasn't just him. There were three instances of people who the protest crowd accused of, men who the protest crowd accused of being undercover police or otherwise suspicious, because by this time everybody knows that the police are going undercover as
protesters.
People are freaking out about it, and then They find these people who they say are acting suspiciously. One guy had like wooden sticks in his bag. So protesters are like, this guy's trying to start something. Another guy, I don't really know what he did, but like it was like an hours long confrontation. And it was documented by a CNN reporter who was there, James Griffiths. Mm. And, you know, it was just they had zip tied him. The guy was fainting. Like there was arguments among the protesters about whether to let him go or not. You know, there were paramedics who were trying to get in, and like it was just like a mess.
Yeah. And then that was a Global Times guy.
Ultimately. No, then there was another guy who was the Global Times guy. Yeah, so there
who
were
also
three.
Got tied up.
Yeah, so the Global Times guy was he had a press vest on and was taking lots of like close-up photos of the protesters, and then the protesters
in a way that's not like I'm a tourist.
I mean, like he had a press vest on, and then the protesters were like, "What are you doing? Why are you like taking these photos?" Like they thought he was acting weird, and then he claimed to be a tourist, which seems to be not the great idea. But also,
when you're wearing a press vest,
but he was probably afraid to say that he was a Global Times reporter.
But that's my favorite Chinese state-run media.
Yeah, it's not everybody's favorite Chinese state-run media,
especially when the editor-in-chief was like, "Hong Kong protesters should be shot on the spot."
Yeah, I mean that's a whole other thing, but. Like the Global Times reporter, then they found an I Love Hong Kong Police t-shirt in his bag.
Oh.
Like one of those light blue ones that people were wearing that said, you know, I Heart HK Police. Mm-hmm. And then that made them think that this guy's definitely not really a journalist. Oh. And then that's when they started kind of harassing him, and he got tied up, and then they started going through his things and like pulled out his passport and eventually found out that he was a Global Times reporter. But again, he had to be taken out by paramedics.
And all of this is feeding Beijing's sort of disinformation campaign that they've been waging against the Hong Kong protesters. I know they've been saying that, well, obviously they go back to the tried and true, these protests are just caused by the black hands of the United States and Taiwan. I think specifically they said, like, Nancy Pelosi and Mitch McConnell are behind the chaos, which... can you see the two of them ever agreeing on anything?
I mean, I know Pelosi has said stuff about the Hong Kong protesters. Has Mitch McConnell come out and taken a stand or something?
I don't know.
That is pretty bizarre to think about, but, you know, the black hands are everywhere.
That's right.
I think actually one of the things that the Hong Kong government and the Communist Party have achieved through these various subversion tactics is even if, you know, incidents happen and people, you know, don't believe that the protesters really were violent, like within the body of the protesters themselves, like when you never know who's really on your side and who's an undercover agent, like it creates this suspicion and this environment of distrust, and so it subverts the entire energy and culture of the movement.
Oh yeah I think they successfully did that, and now we'll have to see if the protesters can kind of recover from that.
Like how do you be like calm and kind and treat everyone like with generosity and respect, as you know they did when we were there? How do you continue that when one in every blank number of people are literally an undercover agent trying to undermine your movement?
Or well, there are triads coming to beat you up that the police know about but let happen.
Well, I think that still is a kind of a common enemy, which is the triads and the police. But this whole, like, from inside thing is insidious. And, well, I'd say that there's always been a little bit of tension in the protest movement between the frontline protesters, the ones that are more willing to push the boundaries, kind of facing off directly with the police, willing to throw things back, willing to kind of, like, push the envelope that way, and the general body of protesters. Like, the frontline people are the people who broke into LegCo, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Unless some of them are... plants, who knows? Like, I mean, that just throws everything.
Well, I mean, people were saying that even at that time, people were like, oh, this guy who tackled one of the democracy activist. He looks like a plant because, you know, so like people have always been, remember on, even on the night of the 30th when we were in outside LegCo, there was this incident where people surrounded somebody who thought was suspicious.
And they pulled me in because I was a white guy with a camera and they wanted me to like document. And what they did though, like they treated her pretty well, but they surrounded her and they like said, you have to delete the photos from your phone and identify yourself. But they didn't actually hurt her. They just like kind of surrounded her. And she was scared and she felt trapped. And, you know, it wouldn't have been fun to be her in the situation. But they made her show the photos that she took and it was very suspicious. And then once she did the things that they requested, they let her go.
And you also can't forget that, you know, added to all of this is the fact that China has said, like, repeatedly, oh, you know, we might send in the military. Hey, we're going to have military police hold these training drills in nearby Shenzhen, where we have some police dressed as black shirt protesters, and we have other police charge them with riot shields.
I mean, the Hong Kong garrison did that themselves.
That's right.
Right, and that video, that propaganda video they put up for their, like, you know, their anniversary, like, of the PLA. That was a few weeks ago.
I just don't see how the Chinese Communist Party thinks they're going to win this propaganda war. Like, I don't understand why
they are winning the propaganda war inside China.
Dun, dun, dun.
You know, that's a good point, because, you know, as they say, all politics are domestic politics, right?
Yeah, I mean, so many Chinese people do really believe that, you know, this is the Hong Kong people, they're causing chaos, they want independence, they shouldn't do that because they're part of China.
They don't love China.
Well, and, you know, they're, you know, ruining Hong Kong, they're making Hong Kong a chaotic place, there needs to be rule of law. Like, you know, and it's funny because the protesters are like, what we want is rule of law.
Yeah, exactly.
But, yeah, so that line is really working inside mainland China.
Yeah. I do wonder how it's going to hold up internationally. Like, if people are going to be, like, really upset by, like, the airport kind of protests. But it's like, you know, you can't lose sight of the fact that, you know, these are people fighting desperately for their freedom in the face of the world's largest authoritarian regime.
Yeah. I mean, I think they're doing some soul searching and regrouping now after that happened. Some people came out to the airport on Wednesday and held signs saying, like, we apologize, we didn't handle everything well. Like, they had a citizens press conference where they talked about how they're going to have to figure out how to deal with this type of stuff in the future. It's a difficult situation, but every time that the conventional wisdom has been kind of like, well, this is the time that, like, the public will turn against the protesters because they went too far, that hasn't happened yet.
Seemingly. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, you still saw, like, hospital workers protesting this past week. There's been recent lawyer protests. So it still seems like a big chunk of mainstream Hong Kong society is still just as riled up as they were when we were there.
When is this going to come out?
Yeah, a day or two.
Okay. Well, on the next big test actually will be on Sunday, Hong Kong time. I think it's either Saturday or Sunday, but I'm pretty sure it's Sunday. The Civil Rights Front has called for Civil Human Rights Front has called for another protest, and they're the ones that organized the protests that were 1 million people, 2 million people. Lately, the protests that have been happening for the last 6 weeks or so have been organized by different kind of groups, like the protesters themselves. Like, the Civil Human Rights Front hasn't come out and organized a big one, I think, since the July 1st protest. But they've come out to say that they're going to do one, and then the police have denied their permit. They said they'd let them have a rally at Victoria Park, but wouldn't let them leave the park, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, that's what they tried to do on July 1st, too, when they had a permit to go from Victoria Park, walk to Legislative Council.
Yeah,
they
and
were
then
like,
the police
no,
tried
don't
to...
leave the park.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, people are fainting because it's super hot.
Yeah, I mean, that park can only hold so many people, and I don't know what they will do if tons of people show up.
Yeah, will they? I mean, they've been practicing shooting tear gas at empty streets.
I think the thing about the when the police refuse to give a permit to a rally or a march, then anybody participating in that is now technically part of an illegal demonstration.
Unless they're part of a religious gathering where they sing hallelujah to the Lord.
That feels so long ago.
It does.
Yeah. I don't know if that's really been tested. Look, so people have been, you know, arrested as rioters, and that's one of the reasons they can arrest people as rioters if they're taking part in these things that are not officially sanctioned by the police.
Yeah, which is scary because that holds, I think, like a 7 to 10 year jail term.
The maximum sentence is 10 years in prison. Yeah.
And I mean, that's was part of the fear of the extradition bill in the first place, that people like that could be sent to mainland China.
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, the government is sending some weird mixed signals, though. Like Benny Tai, who was one of the Umbrella Movement leaders, was just released on bail.
Hmm.
So remember when Joshua Wong was suddenly released early after, like, the 2 million person protest?
Right. Well, I mean, he was released at a time that was also, he could have been released anyway on. Did that make sense?
It does to me. Yeah, it was not necessarily like an early release. Like, it was something that was scheduled.
Like, it was, he could have been released anywhere between these two dates, and they released him on the earliest part of that range.
Mm-hmm.
So,
which was great because we got to talk to him.
Well, Benny Tai was jailed for 16 months.
Wow.
And he only went to prison in April, so this is kind of early.
Yeah. That is early.
But yeah, seeing the videos of, like, those policemen acting the way they are, it's really difficult. Like, I wonder what's going through their mind, because a lot of them are the same age as the protesters.
I don't know. I mean, I think also there's probably a lot of police who feel put upon, as if they've become the scapegoats of... I mean, that's kind of what some of the official, like, police statements that have come out... it seems like a lot of it is more about how, like, they're the victims, kind of, you know. And there was, it's. I think they do feel like they're the scapegoats in a certain way.
Well, they are victims because they're both, like, the police and the protesters are two opposing forces that are essentially being, like, pit against each other by the Hong Kong government and ultimately the Communist Party. So, like, they are being forced to deal with protesters in the way that the government instructs them to.
You know, I don't buy that. Like, I mean, the victims are the young girl who gets her eye ruptured by a police beanbag.
Oh, for sure.
And, like, you know, the protesters are also sacrificing their futures and their lives in this fight. So anyone who's like, oh, well, I have to go with the Communist Party because my job and money, you know, life is about choosing between good and evil. And, like, if you're choosing to be the heavy hand of Beijing, like, come on. I can't feel too bad for you.
I do think, though, that a lot of this would be solved if the government... if the Hong Kong government had any ability
to do anything,
yeah. Except abdicate to, like, police enforcement, basically. I mean, there are some protesters who have basically said that, like, Hong Kong is more or less under martial law now because the only, like, real interface they have is, like, the police coming out every weekend and, like, tear gassing people and people fighting back against police. And that's become, like, how they deal with the government, because the government officials have not been, you know.
Yeah, I don't know how Hong Kong society is going to heal after this. Like, it's been so fractured.
And there are a lot of people who are, you know, upset at the protesters. There's definitely a generational divide here,
yeah,
as well.
I mean, all of those Tories were upset about the American independence fighters. Lousy, no good Tories.
Are you using Tory as, like, a general
slur?
Term for pro-British,
yeah, that's
Americans.
What they called them.
Yeah, well, I mean,
I remember my American history.
Yeah, the Tories are also the conservative. Yeah, anyway, so yeah, I don't know what'll happen.
fun times. So I guess the question is, do you guys wish you were back in Hong Kong?
Yes.
Yes.
I would love to be back there now and just be like on the front lines and just like, yeah. I mean, because I think that as media, you know, you are able to play an important role in documenting what's happening there. And if there were not media there, and if there were not a lot of brave journalists there risking their own safety to cover what's happening, then it would be kept in the dark. And the Communist Party would, you know, be able to do whatever it wanted there. And if you look at, like, you know, there's, for example, a lot of anti-China or anti-Communist Party protests in Africa, for example, that get zero media coverage. They're upset about, like, the Chinese mining and other things that the Chinese state-owned companies are doing in their countries. And, like, there's no media there. That, you know, protesters get beaten up. And like there's nothing, right? So Hong Kong is like has the benefit of having all these reporters putting themselves at risk to cover what's happening there, and I just think that it's Hong Kong people are very lucky to have all this coverage, and you know I just think it's exciting, and I'd like to be there.
I do think that there's a risk with the coverage in the Western media about the Hong Kong thing where you only cover it when it's kind of exciting, or you only cover the parts that are, I'm not saying that the reporters are doing this, but I think like when is the world paying attention? It's when it's like violent clashes or something and people aren't really paying attention to the fact that, yeah, that there were like 4 days of completely peaceful protests at the airport before mm-hmm. this, you know, or things like that where it becomes, or like the story becomes, will the Chinese Communist Party send in the tanks, you know, and that becomes the focus of things, and then you accidentally end up like doing their propaganda work for them in a way
by promoting the terror.
Yeah, yeah. So it's just, I mean, it's a tricky thing, and I think this is an important story for people to pay attention to.
I mean, we're so used to in the media focusing on conflict that, yeah, you're right. I mean, there's, I have no disagreement with you on that perspective, but it is hard to make interesting news stories about it's been peaceful today, it's peaceful the day before, and the day before, and it may continue this way.
Well, so on that note, is there any more lighthearted news anyone wants to talk about?
Probably my favorite China news this week has been the fact that Huawei's been getting dinged in China for having Taiwan on their phones as a country. Did you see this?
No.
This was after Versace and Coach both got in trouble for having t-shirts or something that listed Hong Kong,
Macau and Taiwan
separate from, you know, China. And so they came out and like abjectly apologized. And then people were pointing out that like there are other companies that are doing the same thing, and one of them hilariously was Huawei.
Perfect.
Which, yeah,
the irony.
It was just pretty funny. And then of course there's the Hermes bag.
Oh, the Hermes.
The beautiful crocodile skin, red with yellow stars.
It's the Chinese flag.
Yeah.
It's a great visual thing.
But it's, yeah, I mean, it's a really ugly bag.
Yeah.
I gotta say.
Unless you're very, very nationalistic.
Well, the thing is that it seems that that bag is literally one of a kind. Somebody on Twitter had done this kind of investigation into the history of that bag, and it seems to have been made for the wife of an incredibly rich Shanghai guy, Zhou Zhenyi, who later got imprisoned because he was involved in, I mean, a bunch of corruption, but also it probably had something to do with the power struggle between Jiang's faction and actually Hu Jintao and Wen Jiabao, because this was 2003. Whoa. And it involved Jiang Zemin's son and like all this kind of weird, shady stuff that went down.
Hold on, my head is spinning. So this stupid bag that's like $124,000, Hermes bag that's the Chinese flag,
uh-huh. It is possibly connected to the factional struggles within the Chinese Communist Party.
Well, now I know what they mean by no news is good news.
I mean, it is a very, very weird thing where everybody was just kind of making fun of the bag, and then it's suddenly like, oh, wait, what?
Well, that definitely was a much lighter note to end our podcast on. Otherwise, we'd just be drinking this nice tea and weeping at the moon.
Thank you, Li Po.
Yes, thank you, thank you.
Should I say Li Bai?
Li Bai, yeah, Li Bai, that's a good Li Bai. So yes, anyways, thank you for listening. I just want to remind everyone that the tea we're drinking is Silver Needle White Tea from Path of Cha. Be sure to go to their website. We have a link below. I'll tell you it again. It's pathofcha.com/?REF=China Unscripted. You know, we get a nice little cut of that if you've used that link. So, you know, support the show. Buy some great tea. Back me up on this, guys.
Yeah, it is. It is really good tea. Legit.
Yeah.
So, thank you for listening to China Unscripted. Once again, I'm Chris Chappell.
I'm Shelley Zhang.
And I'm Matt Gnezda.
And we'll talk to you next time.